Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Here we are, 7 o'clock on After Hours, 96.5 The Fan. Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, and we got Blake. For the next 2 hours, we are going to be talking sports, man. It's going to be Chiefs. It's going to be college football playoff predictions. It's going to be critiques based on the rankings. We're going to talk AFC playoffs as well, specifically AFC. We'll talk some NFC as well, but the AFC is a little more set. So we're going to be cruising, man, for the next couple of hours.
Oh, yeah. To give you a teaser, by the way, on the AFC playoffs.
Yes, please.
Tomorrow, we're doing tomorrow as well. College football is more entertaining than the NFL. I'm going to tell you why tomorrow. And it actually has to do with what Mac just said.
He says with a smirk because he knows it triggers me.
I know that it triggers a lot of people, evidently.
It's a triggering statement.
Because on Twitter, I said the exact same thing and everybody was going after me.
As they should be. I can't wait to roast you for that tomorrow. And the text line will be roasting you as well. The text line can roast you today, though.
I was really loving the Bills blowing out the Niners. That was great on Sunday night. I didn't watch a second of that game, actually. I was following it on my phone.
913-586-7965 if you want to roast Drew for just anything else besides his trash in college football over NFL take. Yeah. You can roast me as well. You can roast Blake, whoever. Again, 913-586-7965. We'll be getting to a lot today. But I do want to start out with the Chiefs, and specifically this Chiefs offense.
All right.
Because I've been telling you for a few weeks, Drew. I said it first on After Hours. I've said it on Fesco and Dusty, which you could listen to 6 to 10 Monday through Friday. I'll see you in less than 12 hours. DJ Humphries is the key to this offense clicking, and I've said it for now a few weeks that this offense will be the best offense in football by January. When it matters, this will be the best offensive unit in all of the National Football League, and I've said that for a couple of reasons.
You have.
Hollywood Brown, one of those reasons. Isaiah Pacheco, one of those reasons. They've got a Ferrari with the hood over it in the garage. They're about to take it off. That's Travis Kelce. They've let the Jeep Wrangler cruise around in the mud, Noah Gray, and he's been great, but they're going to stick that in the garage. They'll still have it out, but that Ferrari's going to be let loose come January. And then, of course, the blind side will be protected. Patrick Mahomes has been killed this year, man. He's been blitzed more than anyone else in the league, which is crazy to say because that's kind of been one of Mahomes' strengths, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, you can't blitz him. He'll beat you.
Yes.
He's too strong. He's going to get the ball out too quick. He's too smart. Well, he's been blitzed more than anyone else in the league 101 times. He's been knocked down the third most times in the league at 46, and he's been sacked the seventh most times, 32. And he's been sacked 20 times just in the last 5 weeks, Drew. 5 weeks he's been sacked 20 times, five sacks in two separate games in that stretch. DJ Humphries is going to click with this offense, and it's going to help everything else. It's going to be a ripple effect of positivity. And I can't wait for it, man. I'm stoked. I don't know if we'll see it week one against the Chargers, but he's got a couple weeks to get those bumps and bruises out.
It is really interesting on the fact that you're saying an offensive lineman is the key to the offense clicking. But I think when you look at the problems that they've had, the biggest problem on offense, it hasn't been the wide receivers this year. It's been the offensive line, particularly that left tackle position. When you can protect the blind side of your quarterback, it doesn't matter whether it's Patrick Mahomes or whether it is, heaven forbid, it being Will Levis. You got to be able to protect the quarterback better than what Wanye Morris, better than what Kingsley Suamataia have done over the last few weeks. And this was a necessary move, one that they absolutely had to make. Thought it would be Donovan Smith, ends up being DJ Humphries, who we know, by the way, at his peak, we need him to just get there. But at his peak, he was one of the best left tackles in the league.
Yeah, it's not better player than Donovan.
Correct. It's a bet, like in terms of higher ceiling, he's performed better than Donovan Smith. He's performed better than Wanye Morris can at this moment, especially more than what Kingsley Suamataia can as well. So I don't disagree with you. I just think that it's, I don't know how important, not necessarily the biggest problem is in the offense, obviously it's left tackle. If we're talking about the team and about the whole, you know, unit of the Kansas City Chiefs, if you will, all three units included, I think defense is a bigger problem. Like the secondary is a bigger problem than left tackle because you have the replacement of DJ Humphries coming in. You can rely on him. I wonder, I'm intrigued though, to your point, to see what the offense with the protection alone for Patrick Mahomes, is that enough for them to score more often? They've already been very good at converting third downs. What does the offense look like, or is it very similar to what they've seen? To me, I think the offense is going to be similar to what we've seen, but it's going to be more effective in the standpoint of you're not having as many negative plays, whether it be the holding calls, whether it be the sacks allowed, whether it be the pressures where Mahomes just has to kind of throw off his back foot and it's not a great pass and it's incomplete. How effective are they going to be? How cutthroat are they going to be? Because I think the way the offense looks is still going to be fairly similar, where we're going to run longer drives. We're going to take 6, 7, 8 minutes off the clock, run the ball effectively well, which they've gotten away from at times. They're going to utilize Travis Kelce more. To your point, Hollywood Brown's going to be back. I don't know if it looks any more different, but I'm intrigued to see how much more he helps Patrick Mahomes regarding time in the pocket, regarding ability to make decisions. How much more confident does Patrick Mahomes look as well? Because there's been moments where you can see Patrick kind of get happy feet. Because he's,
oh, absolutely.
Because he's used to having to either, he's having to make quick decisions, he's having to just get rid of the ball like in a split second because yes. One, he's getting beat straight off the line or what have you. Where if DJ Humphries can provide some of that extra leeway, how much more does Patrick Mahomes settle in to the Patrick Mahomes that we've seen over the last 2, 3, 4 years where he's got the blocking, he's got more confidence in the line, and as a result, he's able to take his time a little bit more and pick apart the defense.
Well, again, I mean, that speaks to that ripple effect. How many times have we seen Mahomes completely miss a throw because it's an errant throw? It was a bad pass as far as accuracy is concerned, or he doesn't even have the vision. He's not seeing it because he's worried about that left side. He's worried about, you know, his left guard Tooney or Trey Smith having to, you know, over account for their tackles, because Juwan Taylor on the right side hasn't been perfect either. And I've been a Juwan Taylor defender
for
a while, but this past month especially, it's been rough. And I think that'll be helped by the left side as well. And you mentioned the defense. No doubt the defense has been struggling, and you're right. The solutions aren't necessarily in-house. They can't just bring in, you know, hey, here's a former All-Pro corner who's coming off an ACL. Like, it's not that convenient. It's very rare that it's that convenient ever. The Chiefs got really fortunate with DJ Humphries. That's not going to be the case in the secondary. But again, I think that ripple effect will span across the offense into the defense. If this offense can be more effective at those 6, 7 minute drives that you speak to, and as well as just finishing in the red zone efficiency has been horrendous. I mean, I think they're 24th in red zone efficiency this season. If that can get
up. They started out really well. They started out much better than last year, but it's tapered off a little bit more. Yeah.
Yeah. The past 6 weeks or so. Mm-hmm. And when has the tackle play been at its worst? Probably the last month and a half.
Yeah.
Last 2 months. Since the bye, it's been atrocious.
That's not an accident.
Yeah, that exactly. By no means. And so I think this offense going to get through some bumps and bruises. DJ Humphries going to get up to full speed here. Again, we're going into week 14, and he's got a gauntlet. I mean, it's Khalil Mack and Bosa and Miles Garrett and T.J. Watt and Nick Bonito, and it's a lot of tier one pass rushers. But by the time they get to January, he will have gone through that gauntlet. The Chiefs will have gone through all the adversity. They'll have clicked. Hollywood Brown will have been back for 2 weeks. Dude, the ceiling is the roof, as Michael Jordan would say, man. I'm stoked. Can't wait.
I think, yeah, because I think it makes sense because if you look at the offense as well.
Blake liked that. Thank you, Blake.
If you look at the offense, like to your point, it's not even about the replacements necessarily as much as it is the defense doesn't necessarily have reinforcements coming where you know Hollywood Brown hasn't even played a snap for this team that's meaningful. So he provides a whole other aspect to the offense from the 816. The key is when Brown returns. I think that's where the potential for the offense can be unleashed. For DJ Humphries, it's getting them back on track of, it's getting them in a position where you have a baseline of, okay, we know at least the quarterback's going to be protected a little bit better. We don't even need DJ Humphries to be as good as he has been in his prime of his career. We just need him to be serviceable.
Average.
Which goes back to the conversation that Nate Taylor had on Cody and Gold when he joined us a couple weeks ago. I was like, hey man, Wanya's just got to be serviceable. He hasn't been serviceable. Like, we just need DJ Humphries to do at least better than what Wanya has been, which again, it's not that hard to do if we're being honest,
no.
I don't think.
No.
But
he's been an embarrassment. I don't want to see him again. I think they should sign Donovan Smith as a backup.
That was popular on the text line. In terms of what Andy Reid had planned, I'd rather you hear the cut as well. Let me see if I can pull it up.
Absolutely.
Andy Reid today was having his presser and was asked a couple things about DJ Humphries. He said, look, we're going to see how practice goes and everything like that and try to, not, you know, they're going to work him in. It's going to be faster in practice. It's going to be quicker and everything like that. Andy Reid had this to say in regards to what the options are if DJ Humphries actually can't go after this week of practice.
Coach, will Tooney be your guy if
that's one of the options. Yeah, that's one of the options. Wanye, you know, still in there too. So
I don't know if that made you throw up in your mouth, Mac, but
Wanye, you know, still in there too. So
he was asked about backup options. Joe Tooney makes the most sense being the left tackle, and they move Caliendo. We also have Wanye. No. I think that would be. That'd be the worst case, the absolute worst case scenario. If Humphries can't go, something happens to Tooney or Caliendo where they got to move back, and then you got to bring in Wanye.
He forced himself to say it, and Wanye.
Yeah, do it again.
I just don't think he had to say it. I'll be honest with you. Like, this is our option. Like, you got
that's Andy Reid.
And I know you want to support your guys, but I think you also you just got to be honest sometimes, man. When it's that bad, when Patrick Mahomes is getting fired, Patrick Mahomes was actually mad. Shout out to Patrick Mahomes. He was pissed.
Absolutely. Bob brought it up. This is the second player to have broken Patrick Mahomes, you know, second to Kadarius Toney. And, you know, after that, Kadarius Toney didn't play again. I believe that'll be the same for Wanye Morris. He will not see the field, even if something unfortunate were to happen to DJ Humphries. It'll be Joe Tooney who slides over. And again, I would advise go get Donovan Smith. Kingsley and Wanye can't do it.
Mm.
I mean, that is not feasible in the playoffs. So, that is a losing recipe.
A couple things real quick before we go to break.
Yeah, we got
somebody from the 816. Who snaps does Hollywood Brown take? Because I assume DeAndre Hopkins, his snaps go up in the playoffs. I agree with that. I think it's going to be some of Xavier Worthy, but you're never going to have to see Justin Watson on the field again.
Yep.
When Hollywood Brown gets in. You're never going to have to see any other wide receiver out there other than DeAndre Hopkins, Xavier Worthy, and Hollywood Brown. There's somebody that I'm forgetting, I think, but I don't know if I'm forgetting them or not.
Well, it'd be a couple snaps.
Oh, Juju.
Yeah, and then you'd see Juju.
I mean, Juju, theoretically, he also has taken his snaps too, but I mean, those are the guys. Like, I think you have Juju out there. I don't think Justin Watson, you see him on the field at all whatsoever anymore. You have Juju, Hollywood,
you will.
Xavier, and then, I mean, every now and then you have him sprinkled in. Like, if they go five wide or whatever, then yeah, they might have Noah Gray or Kelsey out there too, but
even just to be realistic, like, Hollywood will not be playing 60, 70% of the snaps at any point this season.
Oh, and you don't think at all?
No.
I think because his legs are fresh and it wasn't a leg injury. I think if they make it to the AFC, I think if they're in the AFC title game and he looks good in the division round, I think he plays 60% of the snaps.
I could see it. I guess he has, but I mean, he's learned the playbook. I mean, he knows he's been around. So I guess it's not like it's a playbook issue. I guess just actually being there, timing, all of those sorts of things. I just don't know how quick that'll be up to speed, but no, I mean, you're right. Watson, Juju will be down. Mecole Hardman, bye-bye.
You're going to like a lot more of the packages that you actually see now. Because you're going to have four competent guys.
It's a good problem to have with having Hollywood back. It's not like it's a bad thing having Hollywood back. It's a good thing, if anything.
And to Blake's point, to the 816 point, they prepped this whole offense for months in the offseason based on Hollywood Brown, Xavier, and Rashid Rice, who is now DeAndre Hopkins, effectively being there. And they'll finally have those options there to pull out everything. Go deep in your bag, Andy Reid. We're excited.
Yep.
And we're also excited to talk AFC playoff picture because it looks like the top seven teams pretty cemented in there. There's a couple of stragglers that could be. We'll discuss it all over the next break here in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan on After Hours. Blake Sheeters, Drew Nixon, and Mac Morey with you for the next hour and a half or so right here on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Rolling right along here on After Hours, 96.5 The Fan, which is your new home for Kansas City sports. Home for the Kansas City Chiefs as well, which
that's right.
Who are the number one seed in the AFC playoffs, still at 11-1, right
somehow,
ahead of the Bills.
Somehow, some way, man.
They find a way, dude. It doesn't really matter.
Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, which happened on Friday particular. Other times you just win because you're the better team, which
is the better team
a majority of the time.
Because you're more prepped. Because you do what it counts when it matters. Because you're better coached.
Yep.
I mean, all those things. But you're right. Las Vegas Friday.
That better be lucky.
That was lucky. Oh man, I was there and that was so lucky. But man, it was
also
so fun.
There.
Oh, were you, Blake?
Yes, I was looking for you. I thought you'd be sitting with Taylor, but
I didn't usually see you. I am. You know,
he was bragging
the family Drew. Was there. So
Matt sitting in the suite, you know.
Yeah. Next she wasn't ready to meet Donna. The family yet. So we're keeping an LK with Travis there. So yeah, you know how it is.
See the paparazzi.
Exactly. We don't want to beef in the middle of the season. I got to keep him focused.
Yeah, that would be.
Anyways, okay. Chiefs number one seed. The Bills are on their heels though. Really in the AFC. It seems like we know the seven teams who are in the playoffs. The seeding may change within those mm-hmm. seven, but other than the Colts, that's really the only team kind
and
of
the Colts
vying.
Play Denver in a couple weeks, right?
They do play Denver in a couple of weeks. They are two games back right now. 6-7 are the Colts. 8-5 are the Denver Broncos. Mm. So they'd obviously need to win that game against Denver and then have them lose another game while the Colts win out. It seems like a long shot for the Colts, but they are in the AFC South. They've already played the Texans twice. They lost to the Texans both times by a combined 3 points. But still, even, I mean, if you look at that division, I mean, the Texans are 8-5. They're two games back from the Texans as well. So technically with a better record than Houston, they could go and win that division. So there's still some chances for
the Colts.
That would
be crazy if they came back and bumped out the Texans.
Insane. Woo. That'd be insane. And I don't see that happening again. The Colts would have to be perfect. I'm really excited from what we've seen with Anthony Richardson. I went on my little Richardson rant a couple of weeks ago. He's looked better.
A lot better than Joe Flacco.
A lot better. Hey, who would have thought?
Well, he finally started gaming. Like, just go out there and he finally started to take a little bit of a chapter out of Jameis Winston's book. Just go out there and play football, dude.
Ball out, bro.
You're making it too hard, and you don't have to put all that into it. Yeah, stop overthinking. Just go play football.
Well, it's probably easy to overthink when they smash a million different things in your head in the first year. Hey, here's these coverages. Here's these plays. Here's how to do this.
It's also easy to overthink when you think you might get benched for every incompletion.
Well,
you have.
Yeah, that's true.
You're on pins and needles.
Well, I think we brought it up a couple weeks ago that this is also technically really his first true season.
Exactly.
This is not his sophomore year.
He played three games last year, two and a half games, really. He played one full game without getting hurt, honestly. So that I don't really care. Count last season. I completely agree.
For sure.
Texans the rest of this year is the hard schedule. They will host the Dolphins this weekend, and then they'll play, or they have a bye, so they'll host the Dolphins next weekend, and then they'll play the Chiefs, they'll host the Ravens, and then they'll end their season at Tennessee and Nashville, taking on the Titans. So you see two losses in there probably pretty easily against the Ravens and Chiefs. We'll see what happens against the Dolphins in the week. So a chance there for the Colts, but really, let's stick with these seven teams. That's what's most likely, and I'd predict that these are the seven teams. So these would be our playoff matchups if the playoffs started tomorrow. The 7-seed Broncos would travel to Buffalo to take on the Bills. Bo Nix versus Josh Allen in the snow. Could be kind of fun. We'll see. Yep. Number six, Ravens at the Pittsburgh Steelers. This screams. This is a Saturday
game
night.
The team the Ravens don't want to play in the playoffs.
This is a Saturday night game. This is going to be awesome. Plus, we've got the AFC North Hard Knocks, which I've started to see clips of. I've yet to actually watch, but man, it looks good.
Joe Burrow bought a Batmobile.
He did. What, $2 million?
Yeah, $2.9 million, I think.
Ooh. I mean, hey, you do you, bro. Is he single?
Because
that's a single man
know.
Purchase. That is a singles single man's purchase.
Bro's going to show up in a Batmobile to a game. I think he needs to wait. He said he doesn't get it for a year.
Oh, okay.
For whatever reason, which who knows. But
I mean,
I'm sure he's gonna roll up to a game next year in a Batmobile, which is probably the better time. If he had it this year, probably no need to show up this year with a Batmobile. But yeah.
Well, he's sad, and he needed to make a fun purchase. He needed to go out and spend some fun money. So good for him. Hey, it's okay. We all need some therapy. It's okay. A little retail therapy. Batmobile for him, and for us, it's like a nice pair of shoes or something. The Chargers at Texans, number five, at four. So you've got Herbert versus Stroud, two of the younger bucks in the league, who's going to kind of take their post as the next up-and-comer.
Wasn't that when the Chargers played in the playoffs and lost to Jacksonville? That was a 5-4 matchup, right?
It was.
As well?
It was. So it'd be a redo for LA.
I'm not going to say there's pressure on Herbert, but I think if he doesn't win that one, I think we're going to think more people start to question, like, because CJ Stroud hasn't been around like that. Like, Herbert's been around as long as Joe Burrow has. They're both in the same class.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't been able to get that one playoff win that I think would help get him to a big game where he's playing well now, but
he's playing fantastic.
Being able to win a playoff, like a big game against Buffalo or the Ravens or the Chiefs in particular, like those three, like getting to one of those games, I think that's where you can, like, people get remembered for their moments in the playoffs. So,
I think it'll also justify the past, what, 4 or 5 years that people have been calling him a top five quarterback. It'll actually put credence to that. Like, oh, okay, now we can officially feel comfortable and say you are a top five quarterback because you finally get that win under your belt.
I think in terms of proving it, yeah.
Can you still say that?
We had our Would You Rather Wednesday today.
Oh,
on social media, if you didn't catch the video on our channel, would you rather, if you were starting a franchise, start with Phillip Rivers or start with Justin
easy
Herbert?
For me.
Oh, I know what you picked, and you probably know what I picked as well.
Did you pick Phillip Rivers?
I picked Phillip Rivers.
Are you kidding me?
Dead serious.
I think that's tougher than you think.
Really?
I
love Phillip Rivers.
I like Phillip, no, man.
And it's not because of the numbers either. Like, we know Justin Herbert's talented. I know Phillip Rivers obviously played a lot. But I just think in the moments when it matters, like, I just think Phillip Rivers had more dog in him than Justin Herbert.
Oh, my gosh. Where I want to see
Herbert in a playoff game again. I want to see him go and rip somebody's heart out. Like, that's what I want. Like, when they play Jacksonville, he had every opportunity. I know Brandon Staley sucked. I know he did. But Justin Herbert had every opportunity to go and rip the heart out of all the Jacksonville, and they couldn't do it in the second half. Like, not that Phillip Rivers would have or whatever, but in that case, I'm saying Phillip Rivers has playoff wins. He went up against Manning and Bray. I want to see Justin Herbert play against Lamar Jackson, and I want to see you fight and be able to go and rip somebody's heart out and take a win. That's what I want to see. Josh Allen's done it. Joe Burrow's done it.
Joe Burrow with his zero passing touchdowns in the fourth quarter overtime in the playoffs.
He takes
the heart out. Absolutely.
Lamar Jackson hasn't done it yet either.
It's ridiculous.
Patrick Mahomes does it.
This is ridiculous. Herbert hasn't thrown an interception in 8 straight weeks. He's playing out of his freaking mind.
Who are they playing, though?
He doesn't have the dog.
They run the ball, Mac.
Who are they playing?
Let's go look at passing yards.
Don't you dare bring up the Bengals stats, please, because Russell Wilson just had the second best game of his career against the Bengals.
And he's got top rookie in Ladd McConkey.
To me, you cannot
love Ladd.
Don't mention the Bengals game, because you can't mention that.
2,500 yards, 13 touchdowns, and a pick.
Yeah, 13 touchdowns is nothing blowing the socks off anybody.
No.
They run the ball. They're a run-heavy offense.
They've been passing more recently, but no doubt they are a run-first offense. They're getting back to fundamentals. They don't have a lot of weapons out there, but the efficiency that Herbert's played with this season is mind-boggling. Once they get another weapon there, he'll be back to a 4,500-yard thrower. They'll be airing it out. Harbaugh's going to let loose. The only thing that they lack right now is talent. They will get that in the draft. We're going to talk more about the Chargers later, obviously. We'll see them this weekend.
That's where we're going to get to the thing. If Herbert gets more talent and he still can't win a playoff game, then I don't think you can sit up here and say, well, he's more talented, so I'm starting a franchise with him anymore. I don't think you can do that. Say they go and they get, I don't know, say the Chargers this year pick Luther Burden, and they got Ladd McConkey and Burden in that offense.
That'd be fun.
And
that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it sounds great, but they got to be able to do something with it in terms of like playoff stuff.
Wins.
That's why for Herbert, I'm not picking him.
He's
made the playoffs once and they blew the game.
My big thing is how much of a leader is he? Because I think that's what maybe some of the failure was. Is he a leader? Is he a leader of men? And I don't know if I've truly seen that. Like, you see Patrick Mahomes. He's a leader of men.
Justin Herbert is a lot like...
So what does this look like? Can you guys give me the...
Justin Herbert is a lot like Tua Tagovailoa to me, where they're good. They're solid. They put up numbers. But if it comes down to a drive, I am picking multiple other quarterbacks ahead of Justin Herbert. Because I don't think he has that dog to be able to... It doesn't matter
what
the defense throws at me. I'm going to run if I have to run. I'm going to make a play. I'm going to throw somebody off of me and avoid a sack. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make the plays to win. Because in the moment that he was in there, he didn't make the plays to win. At least Phillip Rivers did that. And I know that he had Antonio Gates. I know that he had LT. That's why I'm waiting to see what Justin Herbert does with better talent. Because I'm taking Phillip Rivers. The question was now. I'm taking Phillip Rivers right now.
Well, no, I mean, I get it.
My opinion can change.
I get it because, Phillip Rivers, that one AFC championship game appearance, where they choked. Absolutely. You should take that. In his 20-year career.
Justin Herbert choked in a divisional round game at home.
In his five-year career. LT, Antonio Gates. Yeah.
You're helping my argument, Mac.
He didn't do anything with that talent. Rivers didn't do anything. That's the whole point. What do you mean I'm helping you? He had 20 years. What do you mean he didn't do anything?
I know, but I'm just saying.
From the 816, what did Rivers ever do? Thank you.
More than Justin Herbert.
If anything, it's a wash.
Years.
I don't love that, too.
I don't like that either.
I don't think Tua's a leader.
I guess I just don't know how to.
Tua doesn't have that dog in him.
I guess I just don't know how to evaluate or measure leadership or quote unquote that dog in him. I look at statistics. I look at the eye test. I look at him screaming on the sidelines. I look at him running with the ball as he cradles after running it into the end zone on primetime a couple of weeks ago and getting hyped
up.
Stats
aren't dogging them.
That's fair.
That doesn't show you that they got that dog in him. Because I think, again, Justin Herbert, he's great. He's talented. He puts up numbers. So did Phillip Rivers. So did Matt Ryan. So did Eli Manning.
You didn't get your preseason dog chart? They handed them out. Steve gave it to me, so.
Okay, I'll get with Steve. I'll get with Steve. I want to know what you guys think. 913-586-7965.
Somebody said they're convinced that I don't watch football.
Hey, listen. Trust me, he does, 816. He does. We're trying to get him there. Hey, we will get him there. And you can help us get him there. 913-586-7965. That's interesting. I
know it's a hot take.
I think a lot of people have some Herbert hot takes in this building. I think I want him to show his worth on Sunday, but I want him to show it with the stats and not with a W. Obviously, Drew's been disappointed by Justin Herbert. There are a lot of teams and players that have been disappointed this season.
We've already done this before. I think you can name at least 10 quarterbacks who are better than Justin Herbert. I think you can name more, but you can at least name 10.
As I said, he's been disappointed. We've been disappointed with lots of teams and players. I want to know who you've been disappointed in. No, you're good. 913-586-7965. Tell me who you've been most disappointed in this season. We'll talk about it coming up on After Hours right here on your home for the Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Keep it going here, 7:35 on After Hours right here on your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan. Blake Schneiders, Drew Nixon, and myself, Mac Morey, with you here for the next 90 minutes. Just talked to AFC playoff teams, ventured into a wonderful Herbert discussion, as Drew and I have been known to have now on these wonderful airwaves from time to time.
Every week. Every other week.
It's going to be a Justin Herbert thing. Hey, and now it actually permits talking about because
they play the Chargers.
They do play the Chargers Sunday night football. Going to be very, very exciting. We're going to talk more about that game tonight and kind of what concerns you about the Chargers and about that matchup from the Chiefs side, both and from the Chargers side. But first off, what are the most disappointing teams this season? I mean, we're well enough into the year now to kind of go and look at and say, okay, this is a team that I thought was going to be much better than this. This is a team that I thought was going to be much worse than this. But just on the negative side, players and teams, who have you said, damn, that sucks? Like, where are you, bro? Where are you?
I think the obvious answer is the Cincinnati Bengals.
For sure. They're in my top three. They're my number two.
I think that just for the expectations, obviously. It's hard to find some team. Like, I think there's only like three or four that really are truly disappointing. Like the Dallas Cowboys, disappointing. 49ers have been disappointing. I don't know.
I agree.
You have the Jets in the conversation. I know the Jets were expected to do so. Is it just because the Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, like all of the talent? Sort of a thing.
It's the talent, I guess, because everyone talked about them too. It felt like they were the media darling for 2 months.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all anyone could talk about. We got practice videos of Rodgers and Garrett Wilson finding their connection.
A Netflix documentary coming out.
Yeah, Netflix documentary coming out, which is embarrassing because of how poorly this whole thing has gone. But I had them as my most, I think they're one of the most disappointing teams I've ever seen in my lifetime. But I think that's partially because of the media. And also, I did think they were going to be good. I got sucked in because on paper, it looked awesome.
But did you think they were winning the division? I can't remember.
I had them at 11 wins. I had the Bills at 10.
Mm, okay.
Yep. So, missed that one.
It makes sense now why they'd be your most disappointing.
Yeah, no, exactly. And Bengals, their win total was 10.5. And they're going to win, what, 6 or 7 games this year?
If they're fortunate, yeah.
Exactly. So, I think it's fair to put them at number two, if not number one. You mentioned the 49ers.
Mm.
Man, that window's shut.
I know.
That's disappointing.
I know that they've had some injury stuff, but everybody else, I think the whole, well, they've had injuries thing is kind of played out because everybody else does. Like the Chiefs have had a ton of injuries. The Chiefs are 11-1. They play in a tougher division.
Yeah, it's a good point.
I mean, I know the NFC West is competitive, but the AFC West is better than the NFC West is. So I think that it's hard to, you know, not feel bad, but it's hard to say, oh, yeah, they've had a lot of injuries because everybody else has as well, and they're still 5-7. The defense has struggled a lot more than they have typically under Kyle Shanahan with no Robert Saleh, no Steve Wilkes.
Yeah. D'Amico Ryans.
Do you feel like they just got more exposed this year? I mean, yeah, they had some injuries, but it's not like they really lost a ton of core players, and their system just doesn't seem to...
Like defensively or offensively?
Definitely defensively. But offensively, they haven't been able to move the ball. They made the whole hubbub about Ayuk not signing, wanting to be traded, brought him back. He hasn't been anything all year.
Yeah.
Debo does his ritualistic miss four games, maybe four, always hurt. Like, they're like Max said, their window is shut. I do not see them be having some sort of resurrection next year.
Debo, wrong side of 30. Kittle, 32. Trent Williams going to be 38 next year.
They're paying a lot of these guys as well. They got to figure that out.
Just paid Ayuk. He's the only one in his prime. But, I mean, as Blake said, he's coming off an ACL tear. CMC, I mean, GG's, that's done. Bye-bye. Career over. For what we've known him as,
I'm going to say right now, career is done. Like right now,
for what we've known him as, he'll be a good second scat back, come in on third downs and red zone.
In terms of, like, he's never going to touch last year what he did. Obviously, you're saying
never even be within reach, never even be within eyesight of what he was last year. Forget it. If you would never watch football and you watch him play next year, you'd be like, oh, that's a fun second back at the end of his career.
I think it was Ross Tucker today who joined us on Cody and Gold and said something similar where. Along the lines of Saquon Barkley, he was making the comparison where guys have a really good year running back. The next year, the mileage catches up the following year where McCaffrey's getting, and in the following year, the injury stuff is going on. You know, he's getting hurt a little bit more often, not as productive even when he is playing. He's solid, but he's not the same as he was last year. Not to say that's going to happen to Saquon, but he's getting older. Really good, really, really, really good year. Like MVP level season. McCaffrey had that last year. What's happening to him now? Hopefully the Saquon thing doesn't happen to him next year, but that's something that regarding the running back room to keep an eye on. Like you're right, where the following season after a really great year, it tails off a lot.
Which is crazy when you think about it, because it's like, you know, foregoing money for later in contracts in the MLB, like Shohei Ohtani, they're going to pay him in 10 years or whatever it is. And you're just like, okay, we'll get to it next year. We'll get to it next year. Derrick Henry, meanwhile, I'll get to it next year. I'll get to it next year. And he's got a pile of injuries, I guess, waiting for him after the end of his career, because he has just been fantastic and it never seems to have the wheels fall off. Obviously, he's not maybe what he was 4 years ago, but he's the first or second best running back in the league still. So he's an anomaly. Some more disappointing players for me. I think the most disappointing player, and you can tell me, 913, tell us, 913-586-7965, what your most disappointing player this season was, Justin Tucker.
Yes.
Has to be.
I feel like I've seen every single miss that he's missed.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen all nine of them.
They're all in big moments.
Or 11. I think he's at 11 on the year.
That's so crazy.
His misses like add up to 22 or 23 points or something, which is by how many points they've lost their five games by.
He's missed as many field goals almost as they've played games, which is nuts. Then if he has 11, they played 12 games?
I think he's got the worst percentage out of any starter who's played every game. Yeah,
13 games.
He's 79% right now, I believe.
God.
That's really bad. Is he eliminating himself from the GOAT conversation by having this season?
No.
I think it's debatable.
No.
Eliminating himself?
He was elite for so long.
Is he still the GOAT?
No.
Is he still the GOAT?
See, is he still the GOAT? So he
Mac,
says,
is he
you're
still
saying
the
from the conversation of all time. That's all time conversation is different than right now.
I can't say he's the GOAT with what I'm seeing.
Because I think up until this year, he was the GOAT.
I agree.
Like, has he ruined that single-handedly by how he's played this year?
I think he's starting to ruin it for me, man.
Is it Vinatieri or is it...
Vinatieri for me.
And then Harrison Butker second, or are you still putting Tucker second?
I'll put Tucker second, but Butker, I mean, shoot, man, if Butker comes back...
He's getting up there, man. Harrison Butker is getting closer. He's closing the gap.
If he comes back and has another couple clutch kicks to, like, win another Super Bowl, like...
He's getting up to... He's like top five. He's getting up there to top three, maybe. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer.
Well, he's young, too. He's only, 27?
Yeah, 27, 28. I mean, he's in his prime.
He can kick till he's 40.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is what someone would say with Tucker. I mean, he's 35, so you're like, well, he can't be done yet, but sometimes you just see it go.
I think he's just got the yips. It happens. Sometimes you just get the yips, and this is his season. He's never had them before. Can he come back?
Can he recover?
Someone say Kingsley Suamataia is most disappointing. And the league, I think that's fair. I think it's fair to be disappointed, given I'm assuming you're a Chiefs fan, so it stands out more. I think that it's, compared to some of these other guys, I don't know if I put Kingsley that high, but he's been really disappointing in terms of, hey, he's the starter out of training camp. Second round pick, you're like, oh, this is nice. And for how it's fallen apart within the matter of 2 or 3 weeks of him playing is just crazy.
Well, and it looked like
very surprising.
He played so well in the preseason, and all the tape from preseason was like, wow, look at how athletic he is in space, and he's strong. And
to that texture, second point, the Chiefs had us convinced he was the answer. I
mean, they had me convinced. I was like, 100%. Oh, Brett Veach did it again.
We wanted to believe.
We did. And listen, we don't have to be completely out. Yes. Is Kingsley Suamataia extremely disappointing this year? Yes. Does that mean he can't come back next year? No.
Andy Reid preaches the long-term game.
Andy Heck is one of the best offensive line coaches in the National Football League. Mm. If anyone can get a reclamation project out of Kingsley, it can be Andy Heck. Another disappointing player for me, before we talk college football playoffs and their rankings, which I want to hear your reactions. Wow. A lot of things to say about the college football playoff rankings, so make sure you text in about that, too. But Sam Laporta, he's kind of been disappointing, too, man. I mean, this guy was crowned the next best tight end. Where are you? I hear Brock Wright's name when I'm watching Detroit games more than I hear Laporta. I'm like, Brock Wright? Who? Again?
I think it's a tie between Laporta and Mark Andrews. Andrews started, the first 7 weeks without doing a single thing?
It's true. He's had a really good last few weeks, but you're right. It was like, where are you, bro?
Isaiah Likely was the guy early on. Now Isaiah Likely even, like the tight ends for, the tight ends for Baltimore haven't been doing as much, just period.
Would you say Justin Fields is disappointing?
No.
No.
Okay.
He had a winning record when they took him out.
4-2. Yep.
He got forced out, and it looks like it was for the better, yeah, obviously. So you can't be mad because he was what, 6-2?
No, they were 4-2, I think. They were 4-2.
4-2. They had a winning record.
Yeah, they were winning record. They looked solid, obviously. But you're right. The ceiling is higher with Russell Wilson. He humbled him. Tomlin did it. What we thought could not be done.
I'm very surprised that actually worked out, too, because I think everybody was kind of like, why are you making that move right now? Well, but it actually has panned out to be a smart decision.
I think there's a lot of public hate for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, we all
love Russell.
Fan favorite, I don't think.
I like Russell Wilson. I do.
You have a lot
like
of unpopular opinions.
You like
true.
Russell? Wow, okay, hey.
he's a Wisconsin guy, so I feel like I gravitate towards like Russell Wilson and the Rose Bowl. They lost Andy Dalton in that one, but like he's
foreshadowing Andy Dalton.
Very, very ironic. Ironic. He's a Wisconsin guy, so I like Russell Wilson.
That's fair. He is Mr. Unlimited.
Watch out.
That stuff is cringe. I'll be honest. I'm not afraid to admit that's cringe, but
I agree, though.
I like Russell Wilson.
I agree. No, I'm not a huge Russell Wilson hater besides the cringe stuff, but
at least he's not future.
Yeah.
He's a good dad, you know?
Yeah. He's resurrected his career, I think, from the 2 years in Denver.
Yeah.
He's played this year.
Oh, yeah.
That really shaded my dislike for him for a little bit, but since then I feel like, again, he's been humbled and it seems like he's on a upward trajectory, both personally and obviously professionally on the football field. I want to talk to you all about college football playoff reactions. We've got the college football playoff master right in front of us, Drew Nixon. 249 miles
You're
of football
way too kind
249 miles of football is out. It has been released. I want to hear his thoughts. What's good? What's bad? What conference championship games matter? We're going to talk about it all. I want your thoughts. 913-586-7965. That's the number to 96.5 The Fan, which is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports, talking college football playoffs. It's happening, baby. We're getting close.
Let's go. It's that time of year.
Just one more rankings reveal until we get to the college football playoffs, till we're here, till we're there, man.
That's
so,
right.
So the rankings came out. What do you think about them, first off? We only got a few minutes, so I want to make sure we just get to you. By the way, you did just release your podcast, right?
The podcast is out right now wherever you listen to podcasts. Should be available on Odyssey. If it's not, it'll be available tomorrow morning. Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. If you haven't already subscribed to it, we talk about the rankings, talk about what you should be honest about if you're a K-State fan, a KU fan, a Missouri fan.
That's good.
We're going to get more into it after the season's done, but there's one thing that you got to be honest about regarding those three programs. We're going to have that on the podcast.
Ooh, so okay, good tease. Good tease.
Go tune into that again. 249 miles of college football podcast. So the bracket,
what did you like?
I actually think that it's fine. It makes sense to me, I don't think we should be debating Alabama and Miami as much because I don't think Miami is on the same level as Alabama, even though Alabama did lose to Oklahoma, even though even though they got three losses, Miami only has two. I think the conversation is more of a Alabama, Ole Miss, South Carolina. Miami's in there, but I think Miami losing
South Carolina over Miami. Okay.
If I had to pick a team right now, yes, because so...
Gotcha.
If South Carolina hadn't lost to Alabama and Ole Miss, I think South Carolina... Right, I would pick them to be the better. If they were playing right now, I'd pick South Carolina to win both games. But they lost to both Alabama and Ole Miss, so it makes sense why South Carolina's out. Ole Miss lost to Kentucky, who only had one conference win, and it was against Ole Miss. So that's a bad look for Ole Miss, understandably why they're out. Alabama did beat Georgia. I think that's the reason why they're in this conversation to begin with. I don't have a problem with it. The one thing that I'm interested about, and we talk about like big conference title games, Friday, Saturday, the ones that matter the most, all of the big ones but the American. The American League one doesn't matter because Tulane lost to Memphis last week. It doesn't matter who wins that one because the Mountain West game is the big one for the Group of Five. Whoever wins that game between UNLV and Boise State is going to get in, which is why I think that might be actually the most intriguing game as it pertains to who's in and who's out of the playoff. I think the SEC title game and I think the ACC title game are also intriguing, but only if chaos can happen if Clemson beats SMU and if Texas beats Georgia. Reason I say Texas beats Georgia is because Georgia all of a sudden would have three losses. Ironically enough, in this conversation, we're talking about Alabama, we're talking about Ole Miss. Georgia's got two losses to Alabama and to Ole Miss. So if they lose to Texas, Georgia might be out. I think there's a conversation that nobody wants to have, that nobody thinks they're going to have yet because I think Georgia wins. I think Georgia wins as well.
I think they win too.
In all honesty. But if Georgia loses, Alabama beat Georgia. Ole Miss beat Georgia.
They have to be out.
I think that Georgia might be out in that conversation of who's in and who's out. And maybe, who knows, Miami maybe because the committee put them at 12. Maybe they convinced themselves to put Miami in. But I wonder, real quick, Mac, that if Clemson beats SMU, right now in the top, in the rankings, not in the playoff, but in the rankings, SMU is one spot ahead of Indiana. Indiana doesn't play in the conference title game. The committee is on record for saying that nobody can move up who's not playing in a conference title game. So if Clemson beats SMU, does SMU make it automatically? And then the debate is then Indiana and Alabama, because that, based on what the committee said, and I think the committee was wrong for being as open and honest as they were. But are we sure that it's not going to be Indiana versus Alabama conversation? Chaos would be if Texas beats Georgia, because it introduces the three loss category for Georgia. And then if Clemson beats SMU, Clemson is three losses, but they will have been a conference champion. So they're stealing a bid essentially from somebody. It's just who is that team going to be? So that's where chaos kind of happens. But the big three are Mountain West, SEC, and the ACC. I think all of them matter in terms of seeding, because if Penn State beats Oregon, who knows how things get seeded.
So
if Oregon beats Penn State, seeding is still going to matter. And things are going to get shaken up a little bit for that one.
Gotcha.
And then even the Big 12 one. Whoever wins is in the college football playoff, but what happened? Like, is Arizona State going to jump the Group of Five champion? If UNLV beats Boise State, I think Arizona State, if they win, or Iowa State, would jump the Group of Five team and they would get the bye. All of a sudden, Boise State would be the 12. Or rather, UNLV would be the 12.
Yeah,
if Boise State wins, I think they get the bye. But if they lose, obviously they're out. And I think UNLV would be the 12 seed then in that case.
So, okay. So we got the big three, Boise State and
UNLV.
UNLV.
In the Mountain West.
Yes. Okay, gotcha. Then you got Georgia and Texas.
Yep.
And you've got your ACC matchup.
SMU, Clemson.
Yes. And
the Big Ten is Oregon and Penn State.
And that matters for seeding, but not as much get in or get out.
Because both Penn State and Oregon are both in. I know Penn State doesn't have a good resume, but I think they're both in.
It's just a seeding conversation.
If Georgia beats Texas, they're both in. I know that Texas has a sketchy resume, but they've been at two this whole time. I think Texas is in.
So that's the next question.
I don't know if Texas hosts a game, but I think Texas is in. So I think the big ones that can cause more chaos in terms of who actually is in versus who's out are those three that we talked about more than anything else. I don't mind the bracket how it is, but I think the committee was wrong for basically openly admitting that basically Alabama's in. Like if SMU beats Clemson and Georgia beats Texas, then everybody who is in the bracket right now is going to be in the playoff. Nothing's going to change other than UNLV or Boise State. If UNLV beats Boise State, then they're in. But as of right now, the only thing that we would change is the Mountain West champion potentially or the Big 12 champion. All these teams that we saw in the bracket are going to be in if SMU beats Clemson and Georgia beats Texas. Hopefully that doesn't happen. I kind of want some chaos, you know?
Yeah, I kind of want to go. Yes.
It creates more conversation. The podcast is going to be a blast next week. We're going to hopefully talk about bowl games as well for the locals too next week. But unfortunately, no locals in the playoff this year. But yeah, it's that time of year where things get spicy and exciting and conversations wild and debates are crazy.
Yeah, all that other stuff. It's seating, it's home field, it's buys.
I love the on-campus games too, because Tennessee, unfortunately, right now is on the road. Based on how things go,
sucks.
Maybe they can host a game in Neyland. That would be really cool.
No, yeah, we can talk about that more maybe at some point. I do want to hear your thoughts on that. But a couple of games that do matter. And Drew also mentioned he's talking about those three locals on 249 miles of football. That podcast did just get released, so you can find that
anywhere you get your podcast.
Anywhere you get your podcast, Odyssey app, 96.5thefan.com. Coming up, our out of left field question: what piece of memorabilia do you want to own? It could be sports, it could be TVs, it could be movies, it could be music. I don't know. You tell me. 913-586-7965. Coming up, our out of left field question. It's Blake Schneiders, Drew Nix, and myself, Mac Morey, with you for another hour on After Hours right here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.